Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
Let me just admit right off the bat, I dropped the ball. I confess, I dropped the ball yesterday. I was walking through downtown Boston, you know, minding my own business, and I literally came across a blockade of pro-Hamas rabble. In downtown, they occupied an alleyway off Boylston Street. These are Emerson College students, which is, it's obviously all of the pro-Hamas, pro-terrorist demonstrators, rioters, protesters are LARPers. You know, they're all kind of theater kids at heart, but these are literally theater kids. Most of them major in theater. Their parents piss away $70,000 a year, $80,000 a year, to send them to college to learn how to act. Some of them, you know, they want to be TV personalities, but most of them, you know, they want to be actors. So their parents indulge them. They waste 4 years, 5 years, 6 years at Emerson College, and they come out and they become Starbucks baristas. That's generally how it works. So they set up this encampment, this little tent city in an alleyway, a public alleyway. And I'm walking towards them. Here's the video if you're watching. This is me videotaping them. And I'm walking towards them, and I see them linking arms. And I say, oh, good, they're going to try to stop me. So I'm going to do what the poor Jewish kids at Columbia have to do. I'm going to have to force my way through this blockade. And I don't know. I'm getting old, but I'm pretty confident I could make my way through this. Look at these people. They're almost all women, and they're all masked up. And many of them have nose rings and purple hair. It's just right out of Central Casting. Literally, that's what they are. They're actors, wannabe actors. And I go right up to them, and they let me through, which was very disappointing. I'm like, oh, wait, you're not going to stop me? Right here, you can see I start videoing in the tents that they have set up. And this girl blocks me briefly. They got the Hamas scarves on, and they have signs, obviously, supporting terrorists who killed Americans, who have Americans hostage. They don't care. And I should have, right here, see this one with the hair? I don't know why I didn't start asking questions and maybe initiate a confrontation. But I'm serious when I tell you I was laughing and they were looking at me, you know, with scorn. They're such jokes. Can we just be honest here? Every one of them, from Emerson to Harvard to Columbia and NYU and Northwestern and USC, these kids are just jokes. That's all they are. They're fools. They're stupid. We're going to get to some of them who were asked, you know, why they were protesting. But they're dumb. They're disillusioned. And you know what we have to do? We ask, how did we get here? I know I've asked this a few times, but I'm asking again. How did we get to the point where college students in the United States are literally getting arrested in support of subhuman savages who murder innocent people, who killed children, who murdered women and then raped their corpses. They not only did this, they bragged about it. They put out a video, a 45-minute video of all the atrocities. And these kids, these disillusioned children are leaving class, are not out, you know, hitting the bars. They're sleeping in the street or sleeping in alleyways and chanting and singing and holding signs in support of the Islamic terrorists who killed Americans. What would I have asked? Obviously, I would ask, you know, why are you here? Because they don't know. What are you demanding? Because they don't know. Here's what I should have asked. Here's what I would have asked if I thought this through. There, you know, some of them are 22, 23. I assume some of them are seniors. I would have asked one question of them. Let me do this first. Who is Hirsch Goldberg Polin? Hirsch Goldberg Polin. What are the chances that anyone there, anyone at NYU, anyone at Harvard, anyone at NYU knows who Hirsch Goldberg Polin is? Lots of people know Evan Gorshkovich, the Wall Street Journal reporter who is in prison in Russia. Lots of them know who he is. None of them know this kid. You're looking at him on the screen. This is Hirsch Goldberg Polin. He's an American, an Israeli American. He was born in California. He lived in Richmond, Virginia with his family till he was eight, and they moved to Israel. They're Israeli Americans, dual citizens. Well, Hirsch Goldberg Polin was at the music festival on October 7th. He was taken hostage. While he was taken hostage, the savages blew off his left arm. He has no arm from elbow down. It's gone in captivity. He had to deal with the loss of his arm. Amazingly, he's still alive. Yesterday, the Hamas released a video of Hirsch Goldberg Polin. In it, he was criticizing Netanyahu. In it, he was doing what he was told. In Hebrew, he was blaming Netanyahu for the situation. So obviously, he has a gun to his head. His parents have worked tirelessly to get the hostages released. Nobody listens to them. Nobody talks about them. Literally no one in D.C. cares about this kid. Certainly nobody in Boston cares, or New York cares about this kid who's been in captivity for 202 days, tortured, starved. Just amazingly, he's healed. His arm is healed, or appears to have been. And all we hear about is the poor Gazans. You know, the poor civilians and Gazans who are, you know, who support Hamas, who are being used as human shields, who are at risk. Some of them are dying. Yes. Well, this kid's dying too, along with about 130 other hostages. And our president doesn't give a shit about this American being tortured in Gaza. There's believed to be five or six Americans still alive. Nobody cares. I mean, no elected Democrat even mentions them. The president has said nothing about this kid. He said nothing about the other Americans or any of the innocent hostages. They don't matter. These college kids, these disillusioned, stupid, spoiled, entitled punks on college campuses don't care that Muslim terrorists are torturing Americans. They don't matter. They have bigger goals here: to get a ceasefire, to save Hamas, to drive Israel into the sea, to eliminate Israel. Hell, to death to America. People are chanting death to America in New York. They're chanting death to Israel, and they don't know, they don't care that they have Americans their age, college kids, in captivity, in the tunnels. I mean, the chances that one protester in any of these colleges knows about this kid, cares about this kid, zero chance, zero. Not, does AOC ever mention him? Does Ayanna Pressley, does Chuck Schumer, do any of them care? Do they even know? Does it matter at all? We often hear we leave no American behind. That's out the window. Obviously, we left Americans behind in Afghanistan, and we have left Americans behind in Gaza. It's sickening what they did yesterday, releasing this video. His parents are out front. They're talking every day. You said this before the show, Ironhead. You couldn't even find the story. I have been watching cable news. I watch way too much cable news. I admit it. I'm following the Trump trial. I'm following the protests. Nobody covered this. NBC has a story on their website talking about Rachel Goldberg Polin and her husband, John Polin, the parents of this kid Hirsch and all they've been going through. They got a video of their son yesterday. They believe he's still alive. Still, they have mixed feelings. He's alive, but he's suffering. He's being tortured. His mother says, you know, let's just do the report from NBC because it's the only one I have seen. I guess I'll give NBC credit. We'll get to more on NBC. But they did a report on this, and it's the only one I saw. Nobody else even cares. It's like, who cares? We got bigger things. We have to save Hamas. We have to save the men, the monsters who are holding this poor kid and his little stump on his left hand, left arm. And, you know, he's collateral damage. He doesn't matter. College kids his age, same age, Americans, don't care. They're more concerned with saving the lives of the monsters, of these vermin who are holding the kid. Let's see what NBC had to say. Go ahead.
Shalom.
This morning, the FBI looking for clues in this Hamas video of American-Israeli hostage Hirsch Goldberg Polin and his parents getting a first glimpse of their missing son. The video is undated, and it shows Hirsch has lost his left hand, but he's alive. His family gave us permission to show the footage.
What was it like for you to see that video?
I mean, initially, you know, we were just crying. This was a tremendous validation. And on the other hand, we see him, he's in captivity. He's obviously suffering with this missing dominant arm.
He certainly doesn't look like himself, but it was amazing to see him and amazing to see that he speaks like himself with clarity and strength.
The last sighting of their son was on October 7th, as he was kidnapped from the Supernova Music Festival, his left arm badly damaged by a Hamas grenade. Rachel and John have campaigned tirelessly for their son's release. Since October 7th, a painful daily ritual.
So every day, I write the number of days it's been since Hirsch was stolen.
Hirsch is one of five Americans still believed to be alive in Hamas captivity. Four others were released last year, including four-year-old Abigail Idan, the youngest American, who yesterday became the first freed hostage to meet President Biden at the White House. But Israel says 133 hostages are still in Gaza, at least 36 of them confirmed dead.
How do you stay hopeful?
Well, we say all the time hope is mandatory, so it's not really a choice. It's mandatory.
Hope
look at the mother.
Mandatory.
Look at the mother. Now, she looks like a hostage. She looks like she hasn't eaten or slept in 6 months because she probably hasn't. These are Americans. They have a one-year-old baby hostage in the tunnels, and nobody gives a damn. Nobody cares. They put posters in Boston. I saw it, of the hostages. And the scum that is now protesting in the streets, tore them down. Just put postage up there so people would remember. And people in all these places, all these cities, New York and Boston and LA, they tore them down. So you had posters with Herb Goldberg Polin, who's being tortured, who's an American. And they tore the poster down and called it propaganda. We have just been, we've been taken over by the worst people, really have. And I'm going to get into why. I'm trying to understand where we went wrong, how we got this generation of just rotten, awful, evil people who are out there chanting for Hamas. That's happening in New York right now. People are chanting, Hamas, we love you. Hamas, kill another soldier. Death to America, death to Israel, on campuses of these formerly elite schools. Couple things. Where are the parents? If I ever did that at that age, I would think first and foremost, what's my father going to do? What's my father going to say? He would disown me. Where are the professors, the faculty, the leaders, the people? And then I realized, they're the problem. Show that photo, Ironhead, of the faculty at NYU. Faculty, professors. They line up in a chain, link arms, to block journalists, media, from covering the protesters. This is why these kids are so messed up. This is who's teaching them. People blocking the media, and I assume the cops, from getting near the garbage people, the kids who are showing their support for Hamas. This is why. This is the problem. I've heard them many times over the last week or two that we are in for a tough time because all the kids protesting on campus are our future leaders. You know, they're our future politicians, congresspeople, lawyers, bureaucrats, professors, faculty members. And I said, that is true. But you know what? We're already there. The people right here, these professors blocking the cops and the media, they think just like the students. This has already happened. We've already had a generation of these radical, America-hating anti-Semites. They've already graduated from student to professor, from student to leader. So the people learning about the situation, learning about America and Israel and the world, they're already in positions of power. They're in the faculty at our elite universities. They're in Congress. We have Congress people who are supporting this. Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, AOC were standing next to the President of the United States 2 days ago saying she supports the protesters. She's tweeting today that the New York Police Department is to blame. She's asking, why is the counterterrorism unit, the New York NYPD has a counterterrorism unit, and they have been called up, and she can't understand why. Now, I know she's stupid, but you have people in New York City waving Hamas flags, wearing Hamas garb, cheering for Hamas, literally saying, can't figure this out, doesn't understand. She calls them peaceful protesters. She did that the day after a protester hit a cop over the head with a chair down at NYU and was arrested. These aren't peaceful protesters. They're not protesters at all. They're rioters. This is from Boston this morning, just breaking. The protest I showed you, the one I walked through, it got unruly. They were blocking a public throughway, this alley, and they were on the sidewalk on Boylston Street. The cops moved in last night and arrested 108 pro-Palestinian protesters at an Emerson College encampment. Check this out. BPD reports 4 officers were injured, 3 minor and 1 serious. A Boston cop was seriously injured by these friggin' stupid theater kids. Here's the amazing thing. When you watch the video, we're watching them right now, they're so entitled. They're so spoiled. They're just so stupid. They think they can fight off the cops. So if someone hits a cop or doesn't agree to get out of the way or get off the street, they think they can push back, literally. Most of the arrests were people trying to stop cops from arresting their comrades. You can see it. Cops arrest the kid, and the other kids jump on the cop. And somehow they think that's okay. Like, it's just, hey, you can't do that. They don't even understand basic law and order. They think they're so entitled, they can put their hands on cops, and they'll be okay. Like, okay, you can go now. And they get arrested, and they scream and kick and say, oh, we were peaceful. Well, grabbing a cop, jumping on the back of a cop. I'm sorry. That's not peaceful. That's not peaceful. You're not peaceful. You're an asshole. You're a rioter. You're a criminal. I was good to see. I was afraid Boston would not handle this well. They would be like New York or LA. Well, not LA. They moved in on pretty quick in LA, like NYU or Columbia, but they didn't. They moved in quick. They solved the problem, and they took these punks to jail. In case you thought some of them were, you know, smart because they go to elite universities, There was a really revealing interview in New York of someone asking one of these, couple of these college kids what they're doing. Why are they there? What do they support? What's their goal? They don't know. It's just the thing. It's the trendy thing. You know, it's just like George Floyd riots or climate change riots and protests. It's just what the kids do, you know, when you want to be, it's when you want to show that you're, you know, with the crowd, with the in crowd, when you have a purpose. The purpose, obviously, is supporting terrorists. But these idiots aren't, they don't even know what they're doing. That's what we're dealing with. Really stupid college kids paying $80,000 a year to go to college, and they don't even know why they're out marching in the streets. Let's watch.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free! I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either. Oh. I came from Columbia.
They don't know. She actually says, I guess I should be more educated. So you're out there screaming anti-Semitic bile, but you don't really know why. We have failed this generation. These professors, these administrators, these parents, they have failed. If your kid is out there screaming, we love Hamas, you have failed. And we're going to show you some of the parents. I think today we're going to answer the question is what happened to this kid, to these kids, to this generation. We showed you the faculty members. We're going to show you some parents and what they're doing to just warp the minds of their children. We'll get to that. And yesterday, man, I know I say this every day, Ironhead, but Joe Biden, he's deteriorating before our eyes.
Yes, he is.
Trump was again tied up in court and Joe Biden was campaigning and he was just lost. He is just gone. I mean, it's time to stop pretending. The commander in chief, the leader of the free world is gone. He's a full-blown dementia patient who should be resting comfortably in a nursing home instead of running for re-election. Oh, we got to get the crackhead Barney too. Yes, the person, the woman who harassed Alec Baldwin at the coffee shop. We got video. We got photos. We're going to show you this person. You know what? She's a typical pro-Hamas protester, I would say. She would fit right in. She does fit right in with this crowd. And, of course, we'll get to the NFL draft. Ironhead's going to go through the whole first round and give you all his picks. We'll get to that and more. But first,
excuse me.
Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. It's literally one scoop a day. That's it. Tastes great. I like the raspberry lemonade flavor, and it has completely improved my life. This is nutrition the way nature intended. You know what I do? I replace my afternoon cup of coffee, which I really don't need, with Field of Greens. Get way more energy throughout the day, sleeping better throughout the night, healthier hair, healthier skin. It helps with digestion. My stomach feels better, feeling better and healthier overall. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy, and you can too. I promise you're going to love this product, but if for any reason you don't, they will give you 100% money back. I got you 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code Jerry. That's promo code G-E-R-R-Y at fieldofgreens.com. fieldofgreens.com. A quick update on the presidential campaign. We have two guys running for president. 6 more months to go. One of them is tied up in court again today. An amazing scene outside the courthouse this morning. Trump showed up and a huge crowd of people in Manhattan cheered Trump, Trump, Trump. I mean, amazing scene in New York. And then Trump said that he is going to try to win New York, which he won't do, but it was something, because does Joe Biden goes back to his hometown of Scranton and gets 12 people. Trump's in New York City, and he's got about 800 people at 8 in the morning chanting his name. It's very telling. But Joe Biden, while keeping his opponent tied up in court in New York, was out on the campaign trail. He's appearing with some union guys and attempting to read the teleprompter. Now, we do this every day. It's an embarrassment, a national embarrassment every day that this is our president. But I'm going to say yesterday was a new low. I know I've said it before, but a new low. Watch this fossil try to read the teleprompter. And by the way, the people, the union guys in the crowd, they're on cue too. Everybody is following the script. You got Joe Biden reading a script off a teleprompter, and then you have plants in the audience who are supposed to cheer and clap and chant on cue. And Biden gets confused, and the whole thing just goes sideways. Watch this.
Imagine what we can do next. 4 more years. Pause.
4 more years.
We have President Ron Burgundy in the White House right now, at least for 6 more months. He wants, 4 more years, obviously. He's reading the teleprompter, and he reads the cue, which I assume is in parentheses or in some different type. Pause.
Like all
he
caps, probably.
Pause. No one ever does this. Just him. Just him and Ron Burgundy. Just an embarrassment for the whole country. Really is. He made a speech. Well, the teleprompter made a speech. Said nothing. I know I harp on this about the hostages. Said nothing about Hirsch, Goldberg, Poland, who had his arm blown off by the savages that he's trying to protect right now. He is so just empty, soulless. I don't care what the polls show or what, Michigan, how much Michigan matters. If you're a human being and you know Americans are being tortured, how do you not react like a human being? He's the worst. Obviously, he's a terrible president. He's such a bad leader. A leader right here would say, the polls be damned. I'm going to demand they return our people. I'm going to pound the desk, ignore the teleprompter, and demand they release Hirsch, Goldberg, Poland. But he doesn't care. He is, again, the biggest lie we've ever been told is that this guy has compassion, has empathy. He's the opposite. There's no empathy. There's no humanity to him. He just shuffles in, reads the teleprompter, and hopes the people around him, people who control him, will handle the rest. He's incapable of leading. He's incapable of taking a principled stand on anything. It's humiliating for the whole country. By the way, yesterday, the Ayatollah in Iran and Hamas released statements, tweets on X in support of the protesters. So know that, mom and dad, if your kid is out there marching in New York or in Boston, they have the support of the Ayatollah. They have the support, literally, of Hamas. That's what side your kid is on. But that was the highlight. Oh, by the way, he also said yesterday his son died in Iraq again.
Ugh.
And he said he died in Iraq in 19-anything. That's what he said. In 19, he was going to say 19, whatever, 97, because he doesn't know when his son died. He said 19, and then he lost his way and said anything. 19 anything. I have it written down. 19 anyway. His son died in Iraq in 19 anyway. Anyway, before I get to Trump and the trial, which is a freaking joke, we ask, where did we go wrong? Where did these kids get these thoughts, these ideas that America is bad, Israel is bad, Hamas is good? Where did they get the idea that the hostages don't matter and the important thing is protecting terrorists? Well, we showed you some of the faculty and professors. Now take a look at parents. Parents who should have their freaking children taken away. This is no surprise in Amherst. Now, I went to college at Amherst. It's a crazy place. And it's far left, absolute loony bin. But it's gotten worse. This is, I'll just read you the story from the New York Post before we get to the video. Video of a drag queen in Massachusetts leading a group of young kids to chant Free Palestine has sparked fierce backlash, with some calling it indoctrination. Gee, you think? The encounter, which unfolded at Queer Story Time for Palestine, organized by Valley Families for Palestine in Amherst, has gone viral. This is a group of parents who brought their children to see a man mocking a woman, pretending to be a big, ugly woman, which is what drag queens do. They mock women. And somehow women, mothers, not only think it's okay, but drag their children to drag queen story hour, where a drag queen leads them in a chant of Free Palestine. Let's watch.
Today what we're going to do is we're going to shout Free Palestine. Can I hear that?
Free Palestine!
If you're a drag queen and you know it, shout
Free Palestine!
If you're a drag queen and you know it and you really want to show it, if you're a drag queen and you know it, shout
Free Palestine!
Excellent.
Okay, this freak, this deviant, this groomer, he doesn't go to nursing homes. He doesn't read, go to hospitals. He doesn't care about adults. He wants children, and he got them because parents brought their children to him. You can see it in the video. If you're just listening, find this video. I tweeted it out. It's out there. Parents are sitting there with their young kids, 5 or 6 years old, and the kids are being led by this freak in a chant, Free Palestine. By the way, if this freak went to Palestine, he'd get thrown off a building. He wouldn't last an hour in Palestine. But he's out there telling these kids that we must free Palestine. These parents, they should be investigated. They're unfit to be parents. They're doing the best to ruin these children. This is happening in Massachusetts, in Amherst. This should be outrage everywhere for this. These people are sick. These people are really, really bad parents. And I don't know, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, these kids, they'll be setting American flags on fire and cheering for terrorists. That's the problem. The faculty, the administration, the parents, that's how we end up with college students in masks cheering for Hamas, cheering for terrorists. Just sick. All right. Yeah. And you know what? You know who loves this? The Ayatollah, Hamas. They love this. We are losing. The terrorists are winning. All right. Let's get to quickly the Trump trial. Trump, his case is being heard. The immunity case is being heard in front of the Supreme Court right now. But Trump can't be there because Biden's supporter, Judge Mershon, Juan Mershon in New York, wouldn't let Trump go to have his hearing in front of the Supreme Court. So he's not there. He's back in D.C. He's back in New York, sitting in this kangaroo court, which gets more absurd every day. Now, I'm trying to understand that. I'm reading up. I'm doing my best. It's impossible. I spent an hour listening to Megyn Kelly with two lawyers, two really smart lawyers, one who's on MSNBC, he's a liberal, and one, Mike Davis, who's on Newsmax and Fox News, a conservative, he's really good. They're really, really smart. They don't understand it. Jonathan Turley, Andy McCarthy, all these analysts, they don't get it. Trump is being charged with 34 felonies because of a bookkeeping error. He paid a lawyer to fix a problem, to make a nuisance go away. Happens every day. That's not a crime. Yesterday, in opening testimony or whatever. The first witness was David Pecker, the CEO of the National Enquirer and a friend of Donald Trump, who helped Trump in 2015, 2016. The opening argument by Biden's surrogate, Matt Colangelo, was all about Trump's relationship with the National Enquirer. And they literally lay out this case and call it a conspiracy that the National Enquirer was going to help Trump. And that is somehow a felony in this courtroom, which is just incredibly rich. The media is covering this. NBC, CBS, ABC are covering this as if it's a crime that the National Enquirer was going to write positive things about Trump and was going to help him make negative stories go away. The National Enquirer, in other words, was doing exactly what NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, the New York Times, the Washington Post did for Hillary Clinton in 2016 and for Joe Biden in 2020. They're making the case that a biased media outlet is somehow a crime. I saw Greg Kelly last night read the transcript, because you don't have audio or video, but you have a transcript. That was the opening statement from Matt Colangelo, the Biden guy who is running the case. And I sat there in disbelief, and I watched the media cover this. I mean, they literally are treating it as a crime. On MSNBC, Biden surrogate Andrew Weissman, this corrupt hack, is on with Willie Geist. And here's what he says. We can play it, but it's 2 minutes long. I'll just read it. He said, what David Pecker said was truly shocking. A media outlet was in cahoots with one political candidate. This is what happens in Russia. This is not supposed to happen here. This is Andrew Weissman, who worked diligently to cover up any negative story while he was in the federal government about Joe Biden. This is a man intricately involved in the collusion with big tech to cover up the laptop story. So all the media outlets who worked with the FBI to cover up the laptop and many other stories about Joe Biden are now claiming, purporting that it is a crime that Trump colluded with one supermarket tabloid to cover up negative stories and win the election. They're making the case that it's felony election interference that the National Enquirer helped Trump when every single one of them helped Biden and Hillary. And they did it in the most nefarious way, criminal way. And somehow they want to put Trump away for doing what they did. Greg Kelly pointed this out. In 2016, there were two media outlets, including the National Enquirer, who endorsed Trump. There were 57 who endorsed Hillary. Their readership or viewership totaled 13 million people. They worked diligently to get Hillary elected. They lost, and now they want to imprison the man who beat her, which leads you to one conclusion. Trump's real crime was beating Hillary. Ronan Farrow wrote an entire book about this. I got it right here. It's amazing. Called Catch and Kill, about the efforts at NBC to cover up crimes of people that they support, of Harvey Weinstein, of Matt Lauer. NBC did that. And now NBC is on the air telling you Trump should go to jail for colluding with a media outlet. Harvey Weinstein, by the way, had his case thrown out. He's got to be tried again today. This is breaking. Harvey Weinstein may get tried in New York, like in the next courtroom, from Donald Trump. This monster, this maggot, has a chance at freedom. And the only reason he stayed free as long as he did to continue raping, sexually assaulting women, was NBC was in the tank for him. By the way, you know, Tara Reid is not the actress, not Tom Brady's former flame. Tara Reid worked for Joe Biden when he sexually assaulted her. The reason Trump has to pay, you know, women who he's had affairs with is because he knows the media. They know the media would eat it up, would put him on TV, would amplify their stories. Joe Biden doesn't have to do that because the media won't cover it. He doesn't have to pay Tara Reid. Hell, she had to move to Russia because the media would attack her. Biden doesn't have to pay hush money because the media is almost entirely in the tank and working for him. All right, that's your update of the trial. And it's a bigger joke. And I will pay you if you can explain to me the crime. If you can explain to me what in the hell they're charging him with. Nobody really understands. They're all just pretending. They're just play acting. They don't understand what is going on. The misdemeanors that he allegedly committed are the statute of limitation has passed. They can't charge him with those. So they elevated it to a felony in the most convoluted way. And they're hoping the jury will be confused like everyone else and just say, I hate Trump. Guilty. That's all they're hoping. All right, we got to move. I got to get to this. We told you about crackhead Barney the other day. We played you the video of him, of her harassing Alec Baldwin. It kind of went viral, begging Baldwin to say free Palestine, and he wouldn't. And she pushed him too far, and he slapped the phone out of her hand. It was pretty funny. Well, now we have video of crackhead Barney, the person who really supports Palestine, really supports Hamas. And she's making the rounds. And she's, I would say, prototypical Hamas supporter, prototypical protester. We'll show you her. And we will get to the NFL draft. I'm going to give you our mock draft. You know what's going to happen tonight? My prediction, nothing. It's going to go as planned because no one wants to take a chance. No one wants to risk missing out on a quarterback. No one wants who has a chance to draft a quarterback because they're all studs. Quarterbacks today are just physical specimens. No one wants to risk trading or passing on someone who might turn out to be Joe Burrow. But we'll get to that more. But first, is it too late for a New Year's resolution? Well, let me tell you, it doesn't matter. 2024 is the year you will stop your hair from premature thinning and you'll achieve your goal quickly and for years to come. The new Provia Hair Thinning Therapy from Chamonix is here and it works wonders for follicle health and thinning hair. The Provia secret is a powerful natural ingredient called Procapil that effectively targets the three main causes of premature hair thinning and loss. By supporting healthy scalp circulation, the delivery of nourishing nutrients, and healthy hair follicle anchoring to your scalp, Provia guarantees more hair on your head and less in the shower. Effective for men and women of any age and safe for colored, treated, and styled hair, it's that easy. And new customers save over 50% plus shipping on Provia's introductory package at proviahair.com/Callahan. Every package includes a 60-day supply of Provia serum plus Provia super concentrate for faster and more noticeable results. You get Provia's Perfect Beard Treatment or Provia Eyelash Enhancing Serum as your exclusive free gift at checkout. Don't wait. Your full, thick hair starts today. Provia works or you get 100% of your money back. Order now and save an extra 10% at proviahair.com/Callahan. That's proviahair.com/Callahan. This crackhead Bonnie looks like your kind of girl, Ironhead. She does, but... If you're wondering, you know, who's the typical pro Hamas supporter? Who's the one who's out there really, really supporting these savages and, you know, emotionally, passionately supporting the terrorists? Well, I give you crackhead Barney, the woman who harassed Alec Baldwin, appeared with Piers Morgan. And it went about as smoothly as you would expect. Let's watch.
Pierce fucking Morgan. You're asking too many questions.
Just for the record,
questions.
My name is actually just
What's
Piers Morgan.
What's wrong with saying free Palestine? Pierce, can you say free Palestine for me? Can you say free Palestine for me?
If you stop shouting, yeah.
I want you to say it.
Yes, I'm happy to say.
Okay, yeah. I'm not going to shout.
If you just,
Mr. Pierce Morgan,
if you just be quiet, I can answer your question. Yes, I'm very happy to say that.
I'm never quiet, Pierce.
Sorry, you're still talking.
I'm never quiet.
Okay, but try.
I'm never
Otherwise,
quiet,
I can't.
Pierce. I cannot
You ask me to
up.
Do something. If you don't shut up, I can't give you the answer.
Oh, my God.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, I'll shut up for you.
I absolutely Pierce. Believe that Palestine Pierce. Should be free. Yes.
Oh, okay. And how are we going to do that, Pierce? Give us the answers, Pierce Morgan. Give us the fucking answers. Yeah, how are we going to make Palestine free?
Yeah, if it was as simple
how
as
are we
me-
going to do it?
If it was as simple as me just giving a simple answer now, it would have been done by now. It's a very complicated issue. But let me ask you again. Seriously, why did you do what you did to Alec Baldwin? And what did you hope to achieve?
Alec Baldwin, look at me. Pierce, honestly. Pierce, look at my body. Look at this. Look at me.
Almost
Pierce,
naked.
I was maimed. By a white man.
Listen, I understand you're a performance artist. I understand you're trying to make everybody laugh.
I like Alec Baldwin's chances of winning this case. She's got her arm in a sling, a neck brace, and a crutch, claiming that Alec Baldwin hurt her.
That's kind of funny. The neck brace.
So Pierce put her on, and it went, no. It just went nuts. She just went nuts. But that's the person that Alec Baldwin slapped the phone out of her hand. And again, I'm 100% behind Alec Baldwin. He showed more calm than I would have in that situation. But there is your typical Hamas supporter right there. Before we get to our NFL draft predictions, you ready, Ironhead? You get it all filled out, 32 teams?
Oh yeah.
We have an update on this. I want an update on the Boston situation. 108 arrests. 4 cops injured, 1 seriously. A lot of video out there of this tussle with this rabble. And I got to commend the BPD and I guess, you know, the mayor, the police chief, the commissioner, they did the right thing. These people were blocking a public pathway, a roadway, an alleyway, and they effed around and found out. But before we get to the draft, do I have time for this quickly? I got to commend this guy, Scott Galloway. He's a professor at NYU, and he's pretty prominent. He's got a big following. He goes on MSNBC, and he encapsulates the whole absurdity of people being allowed, students and faculty being allowed to chant support for Hamas, denounce the United States on campus, and pay no price. They're not even removed at Columbia. The deadline for them to get off the campus that was extended by this pathetic president at Columbia. And I don't think MSNBC's put him on a few times, and he makes sense. I'm surprised he got past security, but he just sums this up so nicely. I want to play it and ask, you know, and attempt to answer his question. Go ahead, play this.
I do think there is a double standard. I walked by NYU last night. What I saw was peaceful protest. But I can tell you, if I went into the NYU square with a white hood on and said, lynch the blacks or burn the gays, my ID would be shut off by that night. And I would never work in academia again. There would be no need for the words context or nuance. I wouldn't be protected by terms like First Amendment or free speech. I would be out of the world of academia. It seems like we have a double standard when it comes to hate speech, as long as it's against Jews.
These things are being said about black people.
A double standard. So they yelled at the Jewish kids to go back to Poland. You know, they blocked them from walking across campus. They attacked them. They spit on them. What's the difference if you told black kids to go back to Africa, or if you told gay kids they should be lynched? What's the difference? In the end, it's not about Israel. It's not about Palestine, because there's wars all over the globe. The U.S. is paying for most of them. And these people don't care about the war in whatever, Somalia or Nigeria or Ukraine. They only care about this war because they don't like Jews. That's it. We have a real anti-Semitism problem in this country, right here, in Boston, in New York, in L.A., in everywhere, in Texas. It's about, they just can't stand Jews. That's why it is so frightening. This guy makes a lot of sense, and I hope he keeps speaking out. He's not even a conservative. He's just a professor of business, I believe, at NYU. And he makes a great point. The faculty, the professors who are out there in support of Hamas, who are out there making Jewish kids feel uncomfortable, will pay no price. They won't. They won't lose their jobs. They won't be banned from academia. He's not saying if you're an anti-Semite, you should go to prison. He's saying there should be a price to pay in your line of work. You shouldn't be out there teaching kids rotting, you know, poisoning their minds. That's the problem. That's why these kids are so out of control. All right, before we go, big night tonight, draft. Ironhead, big night. I just read, I don't know, four or five mock drafts, and they're all what you'd expect. I said this, I don't know, 6 months ago. It's going to go quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. There'll be, you know, four or five quarterbacks in the first, dozen, 15, 20 picks, including 1, 2, 3. Now, the Patriots pick third. There's going to be two quarterbacks off the board. It'll probably be Caleb Williams, you know, the guy with the nail polish, mm-hmm. and then Jaden Daniels to Washington, and then the Patriots will pick Drake May, the big stud from North Carolina. And here's why. Is they have a new coach, they have a new GM, they're under a lot of pressure. They will not take a chance. I know lots of people say trade down, trade up, draft Marvin Harrison Jr. They can't. Because you can trade for a wide receiver, you can sign a wide receiver. You can't trade for a stud quarterback. Will this kid be a great NFL quarterback? Who knows? Probably not. But they can't risk letting him go somewhere else and be great. Because they need a quarterback, and nothing matters if you don't get a quarterback. Nothing. Doesn't matter how good your defense is. If your quarterback is Mac Jones or Zach Wilson, you're screwed, and they know it. So they can't take a chance, particularly with a new coach and a new GM. These guys are going to play it safe. Take the best quarterback on the board and hope he saves them. Hope he saves all their jobs. That's how it works. You can't risk. Those days are over. Where you take a left tackle or a wide receiver, because in today's game, nothing matters if your quarterback can't do the job. So they're going to draft the kid. They're going to start him on day one. They have to. And they're going to pray to God that he is, you know, whatever, the next Josh Reed or the next Joe Burrow. That's their only chance. And it's going to be boring. That's my prediction. It's going to be boring. You're going to have quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. By the way, I would rather have Drake May or Jaden Daniels than Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams, obviously from USC, super talented. But as we told you a couple weeks ago, he paints his nails. He wears lipstick. He is blocking all the NFL reporters who write anything about him. He's got thin skin. He's not going to work out. I don't care how talented he is. You got to be completely devoted to the job, and you got to have thick skin. And it doesn't appear he does. So I think the Patriots are in a better situation because they aren't going to have Caleb Williams. They might have Jaden Daniels, probably not, but I think they end up with Drake May. And then the question is, who does he throw the ball to? Because he doesn't have good weapons, at least not yet. But if he's not good, they all lose their jobs, you know? Hell, Bob Kraft loses his reputation. Jonathan Kraft, Elliot Wolf, Gerard Mayo, all of their jobs essentially are on the line, which just makes it great. A lot of pressure, but I don't think there's going to be any big surprise. What do you think, Ironhead?
I, you know, don't really watch college football at all.
Forget it. Shut up. You don't watch highlights. You don't watch.
I'll watch the highlights after the pick is made and then pretend like I've known about them for 4 years. That's usually how I go.
I'm glad you could contribute. Thank you. As usual. I did see
that they're predicting an offensive tackle going fifth overall. Are they usually that high? I know that some they go in the first round.
Really, really important.
No, I know that. I know that.
They're the second most important guy out there, left tackle. So if you have a good quarterback, a young quarterback, and you don't have a left tackle, you're screwed. So not surprised. You're not going to see a lot of, you know, safeties taken in the top 10, but they got Marvin Harrison going to Arizona, number four. This is Albert Breer.
Yeah, that's the one I'm looking at.
He's got J.C. Latham, Alabama tackle, going to the Chargers to protect. That's no surprise. They should do that. That's a good move. They got a quarterback. And then you got wide receiver, another offensive tackle, another wide receiver, some good wideouts, but none of that matters if you don't have someone to throw him the ball. But we will see. We'll have a complete recap from Ironhead on this tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I'll be doing all of my highlights after.
Yep, you'll do it. You'll tell us. You give him grades. Ironhead's going to grade all 32 teams tomorrow.
The only person's highlight reel that I see often is actually Marvin Harrison Jr., but.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, well, there's three or four really good NFL-ready wide receivers, but they don't matter if you don't have a quarterback. But right. That we'll be watching.
My preview is Drake May is an elite quarterback name, so that could be a good pick.
It's a good name, good for headline writers, mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing. And he looks good. He's tall. He's got a strong arm, and they desperately need him. So he will be a Patriot at this time tomorrow. We'll talk about it, I think. But we'll leave it there for today. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thank you, Ironhead. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
But I'm going to go to bed.